して。Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a discussion about higher consciousness, what that exactly is, what it can actually do for you, and also the use of psychedelics and mushrooms. And today we have author and blogger and all-round good guy, George of the... No, I'm sorry, it's Vince McLeod. Thank you very much for joining us today, Vince. And would you be able to give us a bit of a rundown, first of all, for the listeners who are unfamiliar, who you are, what you do, and then let's have a broader sort of opener for what higher consciousness is and the use of psychedelics and mushrooms.
G'day, Vinny. You can hear me right on this feed?
Coming through loud and clear.
G'day, Internet as well. Thank you very much for tuning in to listen to me and Vinny talk again. Vinny and Vinny, yeah, it's always good to have a chat with you. It's always good to be online. Who am I? My name is Vince McLeod. I am the Vice President of VJM Publishing, a media empire that I started after being in Europe during my 20s and realizing that basically we are all going to get exterminated unless we can stand up and do something about it. And I realized that the media was, having a media concern was really one of the only ways that you can fight back. Now, I came to psychedelics incidentally. I got a couple of psychology degrees from the University of Canterbury. I tried to understand and fathom the mysteries of the human mind, but what I discovered was that psychedelics answered a lot of questions that you cannot answer through going through the mainstream academic system. So when I was 27, took a major dose of psilocybin mushrooms, which I know that other people have mentioned being familiar with, and that transformed me radically. I realized that there was actually a higher consciousness. There is essentially a God. There is, all of us have a higher self. All of us have a purpose in this place. Life is not meaningless. Life is not horrible. We're not all going to die pointlessly. There is actually a meaning to all of this, and that made me feel really happy, and I felt actually pretty decent since then. So when it comes to higher consciousness in general, well, that's a subject that we can talk a lot about. There's a lot of questions about that, but what I've found is that magic mushrooms, for me, they can really answer the questions of what's the point of all this? You know, why do we keep going? And I found that that took a lot of suffering out of my life, made me a lot happier.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, out there for a lot of people, even people who do take psychedelics and things of that nature, they feel that life has no purpose. It has no meaning, you know? And it's, I don't know. I've never felt like that before. And I hope that I don't start feeling like that subsequently, but the thought of having a life without a meaning or a purpose sounds incredibly depressing to me.
That's true, but you look around in the world that we're in, a lot of people are depressed because they don't feel like they have a purpose. Their idea of the meaning of life comes to them primarily from television. Television says that the meaning of life is to consume as much as possible, to buy as many Ford Rangers as possible, to own a six-bedroom house if possible, and to go on cruises, buy a camper van, drive around the country. And people find that sort of thing doesn't make them happy. Then, well, there are problems. And I think that's the beauty of psychedelics, really, is that they can solve these existential problems, these existential and spiritual problems that we've really been grappling with ever since the West became so wealthy that we don't have to worry about food anymore. So let's face it, we don't really have to worry about the real basic survival problems anymore, like food, shelter. Those are more or less sorted in the Western world. We've got enough wealth now. So our problems are existential now. Our problems are, what do we do with this wealth and all this time and this fortune we've been given? And a lot of people turn to despair because they've been raised in a materialist system. They've gone to school. They've learned materialist science. Materialist science says the brain generates consciousness. When the body dies, the brain dies, consciousness dies. Therefore, there is no afterlife. Therefore, this life is meaningless. And that's the narrative that people are given through their mainstream educational system, Rockefeller education. And a lot of them are depressed because that is a depressing narrative. It's a depressing narrative to have as your core life narrative that I'm going to die and life is meaningless. Well, it's no real wonder that people are depressed if that's what they think it's all about. So psychedelics can offer an avenue out of that depression, and that certainly worked for me.
Now, it's talking about an effective therapeutic, okay? So let's say, for instance, you're an ordinary person and you've worked for 30 years to get where you are. You've gone through the education system. You've watched all the television programs. You've had all the meaningless conversations. You've gone to all the parties. You've gotten the jobs. And suddenly you realize that because there's nothing more to it than that, it's kind of boring, right? It's not interactive. It's like watching a movie instead of playing a video game. It's not quite as absorbing. There's no things to collect to make your character stronger or smarter or more charismatic. And you have to repeat this process on a daily basis, get up, have some poisons, go to work, have some poisons for lunch, go home, and then poison your mind with TikTok. You know, it's you can see why that might get to people. And this is the this is the reason why the demographics of the Vinnie Eastwood show, almost nobody under the age of 30 listens to this show. Almost nobody. Because it takes that period of time before any intelligent person will start to think about things a little bit. You're like, you've been dangled a prize in front of you. Come on, you're going to finish school. You're going to get a little certificate that says you could do stuff. That, of course, won't mean anything the second you get a job.
Yeah.
And then in the job, they go, hey, you've got to learn this skill, you know, and then you'll be able to do stuff. You might be able to get into management. You might be able to own a fish chip shop someday. You know, that could be your life's purpose. Yeah. You know, something to aspire to.
Oh, yeah, they keep you on the treadmill, all right? Yeah, they have that the carrot on a stick just ahead of you, and just when you're about to get the carrot, they put the house prices up another 20%, so you have to go another year. And when you're just about there, they find some other way of extending the carrot a little bit further, so you're always on the treadmill. Well, you know, people are asking, I mean, is this really what life's about? Is this really what we're put here on this planet for? Were we truly created just to work a 9-to-5 job from age 20 until 65 and then go on the pension and then watch Coronation Street until we die? Is that really the meaning of things?
Well, just to interrupt for a moment, because I've just been thinking about this instance that happens. Have you ever had this happen where you've got extra money in your account or in your wallet and you don't know what it's there for? You're like, what should I spend this on? And then another bill that was unsuspected and unforeseen comes swooping in from somewhere else to take away all your extra cash and keep you on that treadmill. You know, happens all the time, doesn't it?
Not to me. I've never had extra cash. Pretty much all of my money's spent before it even hits my wallet. So I don't know how that feels. But if that ever happens to me, that I do have extra cash, hopefully I'll feel happy about it.
Yes, we all have a purpose in life. Now, this is another element here. Okay, so it's about coming out of yourself and going into a different windowed existence. For instance, if I'm looking outwards through my eyes, I can only see outwards through my eyes. You know, maybe if I look into a mirror, I could see myself, but I wouldn't really be able to see into myself, right? And I wouldn't necessarily be able to interact with the other organisms that are around me in the way that they see me, or have a conversation with the air about what it thinks about me and how I breathe, for example. So you're on the inside looking out, and what psychedelics ostensibly enable people to do is transport themselves to the outside and begin to look inwards. And usually, if you're a good person and you've got talents and skills, when you look inwards, you're going to find inspiration, because it's going to see you for who you truly are, not the lies you've been telling yourself. Oh, I'm just an idiot. Oh, I'm just an ordinary person. Oh, I'm not that great. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, you're actually quite extraordinary, and you are really great. And the reason why you're here is because the universe needed you here for a reason. All right? As in, the whole of existence would feel incomplete if you weren't in it doing your thing. When somebody tells you that, you get an impetus, right? Inspiration, rather than to respire, to breathe in and breathe out, inspire to get that energy into you, and it becomes a fountain, right? Purpose in life. Just like you found it, just like I found it, just like many other people in this world have found it, some through psychedelics, some through other means, some through getting their back broken. Some by getting multiple sclerosis, some people by getting cancer, you know. Whatever it is, that impetus that comes at you in your life, psychedelics, mushrooms and things of that nature allow you to look at it from different perspectives. Where you might originally have thought it was a curse, it might have been a blessing. When you might have thought that it was in your way, it might have been the motivating factor for you to get out of your own freaking way.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like Carl Jung said, he who looks outside dreams, he who looks within awakens. And I think it's very much like that. Psychedelic, psyche means soul, and delios means to reveal. So psychedelic means soul revealer. And it's something that a lot of people don't believe that they have a soul. They believe that they are their body. They believe they are just a meat puppet going around making money. And then they take a psychedelic and they're like, hey, I'm actually a soul, and I'm a soul that's having the experience of being a meat puppet and not the other way around. And then the soul is revealed to them, and then once their soul is revealed to them, they can live a different life. Certainly that's what I found, was that once I became aware that I actually had a soul and I wasn't just this evil walking ape that was going around the world trying to essentially just manipulate things to its own advantage, I was actually a soul having an experience as a human being. That made me feel a lot happier, a lot more in touch with the rest of the universe. Because as you said yourself, every aspect of this universe plays an important role here. And I kind of felt that I wasn't really necessary. I mean, the universe would roll on without me, so I figured, because it would just go on as this great economic machine, making money, exploiting the environment, turning it into dollars. And I thought if I wasn't there, this would just go on. But I realized this isn't true. It's actually true that each person plays a crucial role in the development of the universe, and that was amazing to find out, just that there is a purpose to all this.
It's on a construction site. You've got foremen, you've got laborers, you've got people who hammer stuff, people who screw stuff, people who drill stuff, people who lay cables, people who weld stuff and what have you. All these different skills doing all these different parts. And the universe is like that. We're all an organism that is doing one little job to build the universe, ostensibly. I think that's a good way of looking at it, because it means that if you're not doing your job, a certain part of the universe doesn't have its bolts in properly, and it could collapse, and it could lead to chaos, right? That's what we're here to do. We're here to make solid structures in the material universe by which other people, future generations, can build on those either physical structures or those psychological or ideological things. Now, it gives you back to the idea of religious ecstasy. All right, what people do when they suddenly, you know, and really and completely accept Jesus Christ into their life, or Buddha, or Krishna, or Baphomet, whatever. These people all have the same parts of the brains that are being triggered by these experiences as one would be doing through psychedelics. So you can do these without psychedelics, technically. And what's different, though, is I think the power of the religious experience versus the power of the psychedelic experience. The religious experience is somebody else, something outside you, giving this to you, whereas the psychedelic experience, it's something else, something outside you, helping you to give you something to yourself. All right, it becomes a perpetual motion machine rather than a machine that requires further study and further donations to the gift basket to compensate out of court the children of the families that have been sexually abused by the church. You know, there's a slightly different outcome and that kind of thing. But what about the dangers there, you know, when somebody gets too religious, when somebody gets too whacked out on psychedelics? What do you think?
I'd say that there's certainly a yin and yang process in place, that the psychedelics are kind of like the yin in the sense that they bring a lot of power, they bring a lot of energy, but you need to learn how to focus that energy. And you need to learn how to assimilate that energy into your existing energy structures. In other words, your existing mind-body system. So I think for a lot of people, the main danger is that you have been so brainwashed. The average person has been so brainwashed since childhood, since early childhood. You're dumped in front of the television. Then you go to school and you're told about this materialist version of science, how we all evolved up from lower animals and how we just the brain generates consciousness and so on. And then when you finally realize this isn't true, then that's an enormous amount of mental structure that you have to shed. It's like coming out of a cocoon. You know, it's like being a caterpillar metamorphosing into a butterfly. You've got to shed basically everything that you were before and become something entirely different.
I'm reminded of Harry Houdini. How he would wrap himself in a straitjacket with chains and ropes binding his hands and his legs, and then put himself into a safe, and then drop himself into a lake, and then get himself and then somehow be able to get all that stuff off of them and then get to the surface. That's kind of what we're doing here. We've been straitjacketed, chained and roped and tossed in a safe and a consciousness like spinking and sunk to the bottom of a lake. And we've got to figure out some way to get out. And most of us can't do that without a little help.
Yeah, it's like that. And imagine if Harry Houdini came to the surface, he was immediately declared mentally ill and then arrested by the police and put in a psychiatric unit. Then that would be even more like our situation. I think, you can't really wake up without help, because humans are a social animal, right? This is another thing that people have forgotten. We're so individualized in the Western, modern Western world. We're so atomized. We're set against each other. We're set against our own family members, that we forget that we're a social animal. Like, humans did not evolve like tigers in the sense that we're individuals and only come together for mating. It's natural for the human animal to live together in a tribe of about 150 other humans. So really, you cannot judge an individual human outside of its social context. And that's what I think is so beautiful about psychedelics. You realize that you can realize that you are actually part of one greater universe rather than being an individual who is set against the universe that's trying to kill him, which is how you generally think of things if you're a materialist, especially if you're a scientist. You realize that you're actually part of a greater system, like a really grand orchestra or dance, and you actually have a beautiful role to play in all of this.
Yeah, what is the element? I recall Conrad Rogers, who was a fan of the show, was listening to him when he was like 13, bro. And nice. One of my other friends, talk radio show host, Dave Kelso, through listening to my show, they worked out that they were actually both in the Chicago area. And, okay. And they got together and they met up and they had a great fun time. And they sent me a little video just to, you know, show me, hey, look, Vinny, we're together, you know. And I'm reminded, I think the first time we did Truth or Dare nights in Auckland on K Road at the Iron Bar. First time ever as a conspiracy theorist where you turn up and everybody else at the party is also a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Nobody calls you crazy. Nobody asks you where your tinfoil hat is. Nobody is a dick. Nobody's rude. And everybody is so like, I found my tribe, you know, like in such a huge vibing sort of wave together. Right, that's what happens when you find your tribe. So I think it's so important, that socializing aspect, because as a conspiracy theorist, you don't get invited to many parties for strange friends. You know, this, like, I'm trying to have a drink, bro. I don't want to talk about satanic pedophilia cults right now, bro. Like, seriously, okay, that's just not interesting to me.
Yeah.
You kind of you're killing my buzz here.
Yeah. Well, that's the shame. That's the big shame that the cannabis referendum didn't pass, because if that had passed, we'd be able to have cannabis cafes all around New Zealand, and you'd be able to go in there, and you'd be able to have a smoke, and you'd be able to meet people who are more on your wavelength. You know, you can smoke some weed, and you can talk to people who are more on the psychedelic wavelength, more into, let's say, maybe not conspiracy theories necessarily, but at least seeing something beyond the mainstream material paradigm. But because that referendum lost, we just have to go to the pubs with the pissheads and get told that, yeah, we're crazy. Yeah. No, it's tough. It's tough. It's really tough when there are actually these barriers to socialization that are completely artificial, put there by the government specifically to break things up. You're aware of what John Ehrlichman, the advisor to Richard Nixon, said specifically, that the whole point of cannabis prohibition was to smash the hippies and the blacks. Because they couldn't make it illegal to be a hippie, but you could make cannabis illegal, and then you could go smash the hippies up. It's the same deal with psychedelics. The kind of person who would get together, like you say, in a social group of like-minded people, and start discussing things that perhaps the government doesn't want discussed, like how to resist the government, then they make psychedelics illegal, and then they smash you up, and then you can't do it. You can't talk about it.
Yeah. I remember I had Matt Bowden, the father of party pills, on the show one time, and he was talking about I think it was Ireland, the government came together and passed a new law to ban all psychoactives. And that's what the active psychos do, is they ban the psychoactives, you know. They
Yeah, control freaks. That's what it's about. If you're going to control somebody, it doesn't really stop at controlling their body. You've got to control their mind. You've got to control the neurotransmitters that go through their brain. And that's how you have complete, total control. Yeah, we're up against psychopaths, really what it is. It's psychopaths who have made psychedelics illegal. The same kiddie fiddlers in the Catholic Church who broke up the Eleusinian Mysteries and burned the priests of the Eleusinian Mysteries alive. We're up against those same psychopaths. They're the same people behind the war on drugs. The same people who burned all the witches are the same people behind the war on drugs. And they're the same people who would like to shut us up. And yeah, the same ones who tried to put you in prison. They're the same ones who came to my house when Operation Fakumanu, they came to your house as well. They're the same people. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. They think all of this kind of thing is just natural.
Hold on. Just back up the truck a bit. What's Operation Fakumanu?
Operation Fucker Him Over, as you like to say.
Well, I didn't even hear about that. You know, I got visited over an operation and I don't even know the name of the operation, bro.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Fakahumanu was the name of the operation where they went to everybody's house who they thought perhaps had original ideas in the wake of the Christchurch mosque shooting. And yeah, they thought anybody who had original ideas was perhaps at risk of shooting up someone, because that's how they think. That's how control thinks. Control freaks think like that. Anybody who thinks for themselves is a potential terrorist. And yeah, it was incredible. They haven't come to my house for the psychedelic advocation yet, though, which is interesting. I think that's kind of just sort of beyond them.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, they're happy to think that if you're into psychedelics, you're a little bit crazy, and you can just be left alone to be crazy.
I thought that this cool. is how some people ask me, you know, why isn't David Icke being taken out? He must be an agent and stuff like that. Look at all the stuff that he talks about, bro. How much of it is so easy to dismiss and call crazy without looking into it? He's not a real threat, okay? That's the thing. We're all threats in a broader sense, but they don't need to take you out unless... You can't be shut up and everything you're saying is being listened to. If you've got direct power, like if Vinnie Eastwood today could do like what Malcolm X did back in the day when a couple of his friends from the mosque he was in were arrested, where he marched out 40 well-dressed black gentlemen to the police station to hold a vigil within an hour or so of these arrests being made, then... Suddenly, Malcolm X was a threat and being surveilled by the FBI. Suddenly, this guy's got clout. The rest of us here, we can't organise something like that. Most of us live in messy rooms and messy homes and that kind of thing. Couldn't organise our way out of a paper bag. We're just doing what we think we should be doing by the call of the universe. Oh, I want to do this now. Why are you doing that, Vinny? I have no idea. Something told me to do it. You know, it was just a little bit of an inspiring thought and I went away and I created something. That's what I'm here to do. And this is same with all of us. So many people believe that planning is absolutely essential. You got to get all your ducks in a row and so on and so forth. Not when you're learning, it isn't.
Yeah.
All right? Learning is about experimentation, trial and error. All right? That's the reason why you got to have errors, because they actually help you learn even faster. The most valuable lessons in your life will be those that cost you the most. So don't be afraid to have very, very painful lessons, because they're going to be incredibly valuable to you moving forward. Every bad thing that happens to you helps you to avoid it in future. So be grateful for all these terrible things that happen to you, because you're going to be able to avoid them happening again. This is why people are so afraid to try psychedelics or other substances and things of that nature, because they're afraid that they'll lose control of who it is that they think that they are.
Yep, that'll definitely happen. You lose control of who you used to think you were, the false self. You used to identify with the ego that wanted things, that wanted control and power. And then you take a psychedelic and you lose control of that self. You realize this is not really who I wanted to be. I wanted to be something more powerful than that. I wanted to be something more fundamental, something closer to the divine. And to me, that's the beauty. But I think also when it comes to planning, if you're going to take some psychedelics, you psychedelics are extremely powerful. So you really ought to plan to at least some extent. I would say that it's best not to go to a party with a bunch of drunks and then someone says, oh, hey, bro, here's a pile of mushrooms. That's not the ideal situation to take a psychedelic. The ideal situation would be you go to a party, but a more peaceful one, different kind of vibe, where you've got a lot of weed smokers, a lot of hippies. You're more not the sort of person who wants to rack shit up and biff a television over the next door neighbor's fence like you tend to have when you have pissheads getting together. Something, a nice peaceful setting. Timothy Leary used to talk about set and setting, the mindset and the physical setting in which you take the drug. Those are the two most important things. You want to be in a reasonably decent state of mind. You don't want to be bereaved, ideally. You want to be as peaceful and as happy as you can be, with as few major stresses pressing on your mind as possible. It's especially important that you don't have something really important to do the next day if you're going to take a psychedelic, because that's going to stress you out. That won't put you in the right mindset. And then the right setting. If you know a bunch of cool people who are perhaps also experienced with psychedelics, because it's ideal not to take it for the first time, a round of bunch of people who are also taking it for the first time, because you can't necessarily control what's going to happen then. It's best to have a bit more experience. But if you do find yourself in a situation where there are a bunch of people who are already experienced with psychedelics, and there are not so many pissheads around, and they offer you some, then yeah, that's your ideal situation. You know, that's a perfect time to take some and to have a really good experience.
Now, we talk about this this concept of tripping, right? And people who haven't, you know, gone on a trip, okay, a journey, as it were, they don't actually really understand what this term means. So, first of all, are you feeling elated? You know, when you drink, when you start feeling that vibe, that buzz, that you start going, and you may be a little bit looser, or you may be a little bit more relaxed. It's that, but in a different vein. It's deeper. It's more encompassing. It's through your whole body. It's through your thoughts. It's through your mind as well. And you're, depending on what you're taking, there can be some visual elements, or there might be none. And that also depends on how much you're taking. So there's a concept where you have to be in a safe place to do this. You don't want to have any threats around you, or any discomfort or fear or anything like that, because that's just going to, when you're in this altered state, affect you in massive ways that can be quite dangerous. There was a girl at, I believe, Resolution Festival where I was talking with the head of security, and then we hear this screaming, you know, kind of thing off in the distance, and he gets a call on the radio, and he's like, oh, sorry, Vinny, I've got to go, runs off. And this girl had taken mushrooms and acid or something of that nature, and was having a huge freak out, and claiming something about her parents raping her when she was a child or something. So it's like, yeah, man, there's an intention. You've got to have an intention. Why am I taking this? Well, some guy at a party gave it to me. Don't. Wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. Okay. Right answer would be, why are you taking this, Vinny? Well, I've got a whole bunch of spiritual baggage and questions that I'm asking about my soul and my purpose in life, and I want to get some answers for those concerns of mine. That's the right answer. You know? Yeah.
Or this mindset.
I've been through huge quantities of trauma in the past few years, and it's all weighing down on me, and I want to let that weight off and let all that stuff that I can't do anything about go. That's the right answer, okay?
Yeah, for me, like, I'd lived 27 years before I'd taken a psychedelic, and I'd spent a lot of that time under a fairly intense state of depression, because I just saw no meaning to it all. I saw no meaning to continued human existence, and that's really a depressing state to be in. You know, if you're in such a state where you don't see any point in even being alive, then well, you're an ideal psychedelic candidate. And that's what they're starting to see with the actual psychiatric uses, like official psychiatric uses of cannabis. I mean, psilocybin now. They're finding that psilocybin is an effective one-shot medicine against major depressive disorder, because a lot of major depressive disorder is caused not by physiological reasons, but by spiritual reasons. And the first and foremost of those reasons is that life seems completely meaningless. Now, if you have depressive disorder on account of that life seems meaningless, then psilocybin, a big dose of psilocybin, yeah, that can sort that out. That can actually cure you. But, of course, there are potential drawbacks. Like if you have suppressed memories, let's say you have repressed memories because you were sexually assaulted as a child, and you've had to repress those memories for your whole life in order to function, then you may find that upon taking a psychedelic, these memories may bubble up again. So you have to be really honest with yourself. Like if you take a psychedelic and you suddenly become at peace with your whole mind, you have to be honest with yourself. If you are actually repressing some really dark energies, then those energies may come out with a psychedelic. So you have to be careful. And that's why it's good that you said that you shouldn't do it at a party. Like if someone just says, oh yeah, hey, here's some shrooms, bro, have a good time, bro, then you may find that you're not in the right mindset to actually really have a good time.
Mm. And also, this brings on the concept of when you're doing psychedelics and you're in a random environment, you may find that you run into the other people who are on them as well. Purely by coincidence, right? No. There's a hive mind, okay? They think and they talk to each other just as we do, and they're in a almost conscious way trying to help us out, trying to introduce us to each other, trying to help things be better for us that night. This person has some knowledge this guy needs, so I'm just going to make sure these two people bump into each other like puppets on strings, sort of thing. And you lose the need for control because you feel like, you know what, I'm taken care of, there's a plan here, and it's all going to be good. You know, when you get on the ride at Pirates of the Caribbean and at Anaheim, then you don't freak out when you see that there's pirates there who are trapped in a cage trying to waggle a bone at a dog, no, in order to get the keys. No, you're not worried about that kind of thing because you know you're just on a little ride and it's got a point to it and it's been crafted and created and you just got to sit there and you've just got to enjoy it and allow it to unfold, that relaxed state.
Yeah, it's all about having the right attitude to life. And that's where I think if you're a person who, if you know that you don't have the right attitude to life, and I knew that, like I knew that I was too cynical and too depressed and too negative. I knew that before I first took a psychedelic. So I was an ideal candidate because if you're the sort of person who just doesn't see anything positive, you only see the dark, you only see the evils, you only see death, you only see pain. If you're wired up to look at only the negative side of things, then yeah, you're an ideal psychedelic candidate, because if you take a psychedelic, you can realize that at the bottom of things is the spirit, is actually the divine, and how we're all connected. You can have telepathy in higher dimensions, for example, because all consciousnesses are ultimately connected at the most fundamental level. So that's why you can have, for example, you can have, if you're at a party where heaps of people are on psychedelics, you can have, hey, this person needs to know this bit of information that this other person has, because at the most deepest and intuitive level, you're all connected, and so you can understand each other's needs. That's why I think something like a mass psychedelic use as in a festival is such a beautiful thing. But you know, that used to be the original European religious traditions, like in the Eleusinian Mysteries, people would get together and have a big psychedelic trip, much like how you have at the Illuminate festivals and the various festivals around the country today. The Eleusinian Mysteries that all get together and participate in the Kaikion, the ritual consumption of a psychedelic, probably mushroom tea. That was what most people believe it was now at the Eleusinian Mysteries. And yeah, they'd have a mass trip and have a really good time. And that was one of the major reasons, in my opinion, that is the major reason why ancient Greek society was so great and produced so many great geniuses, because they knew fundamentally in the bottom of their souls what life was about. And they didn't waste all this energy questioning like the rest of us have to do. They didn't waste all this energy fighting materialism. You know, they knew that they'd been created by the gods for a purpose, and they just went and lived that purpose instead of fighting themselves like we Westerners do. Yeah, I think we could really transform society in a good way by responsibly bringing back psychedelic use.
The advocates of this idea, you know, reintroducing psychedelics en masse to society, like, as in, hey, everybody should probably be doing this, you know, just as a matter of course, you know. And even in some African cultures, they are giving psychedelics to children, right? Helping the children to expand their consciousness. Now everybody's like, whoa, 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 you're giving drugs to kids and things like that. It's like, wait, hold on a second. You guys are giving kids Ritalin. You know what that is? That's cocaine. You're giving cocaine to children, okay? And right. So don't be totally off the idea. Just because. All right. So think about what consciousness is. Think about how it develops. Think about what it actually means as we're all walking around with this individual idea of who we are and what we're doing with our life. So everything that you do produces a little ripple effect. I produce this invention. It benefits this many people. Those people tell other people about it. Word of mouth. But we're talking about psych of mouth. All right. The ability to actually change the general soul, the psyche of humanity in general. And if there is a plan there to do this, and if these things help and have practical benefits, scientific analysis that backs this up and what have you, the most interesting thing that I learned at the festival was it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's a certainty, but this guy was telling me that he was cheating on his missus, like a lot, right. A lot. And then he took a what you call a Superman trip, which is 5 grams of dried mushrooms. And he went into this.
Heroic dice.
Yeah, he went into this altered space and he saw what he was doing and he felt really bad about it. He went to his missus, he was crying and he apologized to her and that kind of thing. Somebody who did all this and didn't feel bad about it suddenly realized what he was doing was wrong and began to feel bad about it and went to apologize for it after doing a mushroom trip. And they're getting married next year. So, you know, if that can happen, the question came to my mind, you see how psychopaths have illegalized psychedelics, right? And you see how those psychopaths who controlled the churches back in the day went and found all the practitioners who and spirit guides and shaman from all around the world and frickin' exterminated them, okay?
Yep.
Why? Because what if it can kill them? What if it can kill the psychopath, all right? Not the person, but the psychopath, the parasite, whatever it is that's controlling people like little puppets and forcing them to act like manifest demons in our midst, what if they were exposed to these psychedelic mushrooms and they told them what they were and they showed them what was going on and they changed them, all right? Maybe that's the reason why they're so afraid of them. Now, then the other possibility is saying, are you saying, Vinny, that people who are psychopathic killers and things like that don't touch psychedelics because they might be affected by them? And it's just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they've done a hell of a lot of them, and it's affected them maybe differently than you or I, and maybe this guy is just an isolated case. It was just a thought explosion for me. I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
Well, I think it's certainly true that psychedelics can open up some dark doors. But to my mind, evil does not come from the soul. The soul is the source of good. Evil comes from people having suffered, usually neglect and abuse when they were small children. That's the biggest cause of evil behavior. And I think in the case of a psychedelic, you were talking about before, people don't realize that their behavior causes harm to other beings, because I think until people have taken a psychedelic, they often don't realize that other people are actually conscious the same way that you and I are conscious. Like, I know I'm conscious and therefore I value my own suffering, but if I don't understand that other people are conscious in the same way, I might not value their suffering. I might not care about it. And that's why I think that's where I think a psychedelic can become particularly useful in the case of psychopaths. If you're not a psychopath because you're evil, let's say you're a psychopath because you're ignorant, right? And a lot of people are. Like, it's not really a moral judgment. Then you may find that a psychedelic will make you less ignorant because it'll make you aware of the consciousness and the suffering of other people. That's why I'm so glad to be on the show and be able to talk to you about it, because I know from my own experience that there are a huge number of people out there suffering, and they don't really understand. They don't have an answer. And they've found that the mainstream medical system, the biomedical model that's all based on materialism, they've found that that hasn't really provided them answers. Even if it's given them some good antidepressants or antipsychotics, they're still not, they still don't have the answers. And so that's when something more powerful coming in from the side, like a psychedelic, that's where I think they could be especially useful. But in the case of psychopaths, I think MDMA is also a very powerful antipsychopath magic. Because that the love drug that can make psychopaths realize that they've switched off their love circuits their entire life, perhaps in order to survive, You know, a lot of people have all the good beaten out of them when they're little kids, before they're 5 years old. They never have the choice to become evil because they just have the good, destroyed. And, psychedelic can wake up those parts of the mind that had otherwise been shut off in order to survive and make you more human again.
It just occurs to me that the Rockefeller medicine model has taken away everything that could possibly do anything that's good and replaced it with these synthetic pieces of crap that work, but they don't work the way you want them to. Okay, so it's kind of like taking out the competition. Now let's have a vision. Let's say it's a sci-fi kind of thing. It's the year 2238 or something like that. And in this society, all Rockefeller medicine's basically been outlawed, and all plant medicine is now completely mainstream. Somebody goes to the doctor and he says, "Oh man, I'm feeling depressed. I really don't like my jobs. Have you tried a huge dose of shrooms, bro?" You know, "Well, no, doctor, I haven't." "Okay, well, I'll write you out a prescription. All right, now you've got to take this with a glass of water, and you've got to sit in bed for about 8 hours, and you've got to talk to the spirits, and you've got to make sure that everything's all aligned in you, and you should snap out of it by tomorrow." "All right, thanks, doc." You know, like normal.
I just finished reading this book called Island by Aldous Huxley. You know Aldous Huxley, and there was his last book, Island, that he wrote before he died, and it's based on his idea of an ideal society, which itself is based on widespread magic mushroom consumption. The idea in Pala, which is the name of the society, is that it is a rite of passage to become an adult. A person, first they go climbing, so they learn to challenge death, and then once they've finished climbing a mountain, they come back down, and they go into a temple, a Shivite temple, and take a big dose of magic mushrooms. And that's when they essentially become adults, because until you've done this, you don't have enough empathy with other people to be considered a proper adult. And that's it's an amazing book. Yeah, Island by Aldous Huxley. And it's based like that. They don't have Rockefeller medicine. They don't have they don't have televisions, and they don't have the mainstream brainwashing system. They don't have Rockefeller education either. They just have a rational society based on shrooms.
Well, they provide their own answers is the thing. So let's say, for instance, my mind is limited. How much experience have I got? How much knowledge have I got? And how many hours in the day can I possibly think? Now, if I was able to imbibe a substance that allows me to access and bump into the people with all the thoughts and experiences that I don't possess, who are awake the hours that I'm not, and we work together to do something because we're consciously connected at that stage, how much more could we accomplish together? Like, for example, and this is not a psychedelic example, but we just had my Alfie boy's first birthday party.
Nice.
And my family came over to help with some of the gardening, you know, they were pulling kākauia grass over there, they were mowing the lawns over here, they were trimming the hedge over there. And I recall how much longer that would have taken to do just by myself as opposed to four of us doing it, right? And this television show, I forget the name of it or when I saw it, but they had this job where they had to dig out a water tank. And originally it was just going to be two guys doing it, and it would have taken them maybe 16 hours. So it was a two-day job, give or take. And then they had 14 people come and help instead, and they got it done in an hour. Right? So it doesn't just, you know, one person and an extra person reduce it by a certain amount. The more people that you get involved, the quicker and the quicker and the quickening and the fasting every job takes. So imagine that dynamic happening now with all of these different, you know, freedom, sovereignty, blah, 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 whatever movements, who are basically comprised of a whole bunch of incredibly separated individuals who are doing their own little things here and there and what have you, not working together. And you wonder why the freedom movement hasn't made a terribly large amount of progress.
Yeah.
Okay. It's because we're not collaborating We're not creating what Arge Nost calls the master mind. You bring more minds together and things get solved faster, more completely.
Yeah, well, politics really is just the art of how to manage a social structure when you think about it. So given that humans are a social animal, then politics is appropriate to all of us. All of us really ought to be able to think politically and act politically. But because of the psychopaths, like you say, psychopaths that have banned psychedelics, they've also atomized us all. So we're all sitting in our own silos of individuality and not working together. We're all too fearful, all too suspicious. That's why I think, the freedom movement, we'd do really well if we coalesced around a psychedelic power behind the movement, because we'd all be more awake, all aware, less afraid. Like, I think in the freedom movement, you see there's a lot of people who are really afraid, and you can see in their souls they're afraid, and it manifests in the fear and suspicion of everything. Everything is some kind of scheme to destroy them and so on, and they don't see any real good, and they don't see the good in other people. And I think that's one thing that psychedelics can do. They can help you realize that other people are also souls, just like you, who are having a human experience. And for the most part, they don't really know what's going on, and they're having to make it up on the fly. And so they're not really necessarily malicious, as just misinformed and trying to do the best job in a state of ignorance.
This ignorance that we're talking about, ignorance, to ignore, this is as opposed to what we call nescience, which is the information exists, I just haven't stumbled across it yet. As different to, I've been given the information and I chose to walk away from it. So cowardice, I think, really holds people in place, apathy and laziness, right? It's a mission, okay? You've got to go find these illegal substances. You've got to organize a time to do them. You've got to have a safe group of people who are experienced with it. That sounds like a homework assignment. Okay.
That's hard.
Yeah. You know,
it's a battle.
That's why people who even do them regularly don't do them that regularly, because they can't. It's not physically really feasible. So I was just thinking about what you're saying there about a political movement that's actually centered around the mushroom or something of that nature. So let's say you have a political party meeting and there's 3,000 people at Logan Campbell Center, and there's imagine what would
it'd be epic.
It would be so cool.
Absolutely epic. Yeah.
And I'm reminded of the thing that was talked about in Zeitgeist Addendum back in, I think, 2011 it was, where they talked about a group of people in Washington, D.C., the murder capital of the world. They said that they were going to get together, I think it was about 3,000 people, and they were going to meditate very strongly and reduce the murder rate by 30%. The chief of police was quoted at the time saying that it would take 6 feet of snow in order to reduce the murder rate that much. Everybody came in, they did their meditation, and the murder rate dropped 30%. Okay, yep. So yep. If you had that, just by people doing simple meditation and things of that nature, to have such a great effect, I believe that there could be some weight. So let's say we go in with an intention. I'm just spitballing ideas as we speak here. Logan Campbell yep. Center, 3,000 people. It was Advanced New Zealand, New Zealand Public Party, Billy TK, 2020. And instead of just talking and given the politics and things of that nature, everybody was imbibing, and we were had an intent to change the political will of the country. I wonder if that would have manifested us more votes in the end, because as thoughts come out into the morphic field, they go from your head into the morphic field. They are then basically a transmission line around everybody's consciousness, and people are capable of picking up on it. these sorts of things are really tangible when you think about them, and they're so crazy when you don't think about them. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's basically, I think, why conspiracy theorists often get so depressed and so angry and so lonely a lot of the time, is because the things that they are talking about, the things that they are studying, are palpable and beneficial and important, and they are being told that they're crazy and pointless, and so that they themselves are wasting their life, which they themselves know has already been wasted up until the point of their awakening.
Yep, that's how I feel. The 27 years before I took a psychedelic, they were, I wouldn't say necessarily wasted, because it was necessary grounds for learning, but there was definitely a lot of time where I spent spinning my wheels, suffering unnecessarily, completely unnecessarily, simply because I didn't understand what the point of it was. And that's why I think cannabis cafes, again, would be so brilliant, that you could get together as conspiracy theorists, and you could discuss these ideas that mainstream normies would call you schizophrenic for discussing, and you'd be able to feel a lot more normal. I think that would help a lot of people in the more sort of fringes of society. I think it would help them out a great deal, being able to have a group, or at least an environment of people that they could talk to that were more positive, rather than the mainstream we've got in New Zealand, where you're basically only allowed to talk about what the television's talking about. And if you talk about anything else, it's just too much. But that's why I think shows like this are so brilliant. That's why I'm glad to see you back on YouTube and getting the subscribers back again.
Yes, it's taken a while. We're not quite to 1,000 subscribers yet, but eventually we'll get the 100%. And I believe that there is only a couple of minutes left in the broadcast today. So VJM Publishing, can you tell people a little bit about that before we go here, Vince?
Yeah, VJM Publishing, it's short for my initials, Vincent Jamie McLeod. And really the point of the publishing company is to bring to people ideas that they would not otherwise have been able to encounter through the mainstream publishing and media system. So a lot of those ideas are occult philosophy, psychedelics, alternative politics, alternative psychology as well, all of these kind of ideas. If you're really interested in these ideas and what I've been talking about, my company's just recently released a book called Best of VJMP 2023. And it's just the best essays and articles from the VJM Publishing Company page, because we try and put new essays and articles up there all the time. They're often about topics like psychedelics. So if you're interested in these topics, you can get a copy of this book on Kindle. Best of VJMP 2023. It's just 64 of the best essays and articles from the past, or from 2023. So yeah, like that's the best thing. Otherwise, I'm also on Rumble and all the same channels that Vinny's on, trying to speak the truth on podcasts as well. So really, I'm just trying to get all the ideas out there. And yeah, if you're interested in more, you can find me online.
Thanks, bro. And I'd also like to remind people, like, the loneliness thing is for real, okay? It'll kill you, guys, okay? So for the love of all that is merciful in this universe, come and join me or anybody else, okay? All of the people who do radio shows, podcasts, and things of that nature want to hang out with you. Even though they don't know it yet, even though they don't know your name, get in contact with them. Say that you want to go out for a coffee or something like that. Maybe you'll get invited to a conspiracy theorist party or something, and you could learn the wonder and the majesty of being able to sit round and talk to anybody about anything and have a great conversation and make a new friend. Okay, that kind of environment is precisely what you need if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling depressed. Don't hesitate, get in touch with all your talk radio show hosts and podcasters and things of that nature. I'm in Auckland. Where are you, Vince?
I'm in Nelson.
Yeah, so
Sun City.
Yeah, the Sun City. Oh wow, we got the city of sales. I mean, by the speed of them selling off state assets and homes to foreigners, it certainly feels like a city of sales to me. There's a little bit of housekeeping to do before we go here, ladies and gentlemen. And on that note of getting in contact, I would like to just share my screen with you just for the moment here, bro, so you can see what I'm talking about. We
yep,
have
nice.
A whatnot. Yes, there we do. Skype, yeah, there we go. We got you there. HoldenHealthcare.com. David Holden is doing a biohacking thing, I believe, at where is it? I think it's at the Oratier Hall, like in March, I believe. I've got to find that on here. Yeah, there it is, on the 23rd Saturday of March. He's doing a biohacking thing at the Oratier Hall, which, if you've read the brief, it's going to be a hell of a lot of work for us, but oh my goodness, are you going to learn some stuff about everything, every part of your little bodies, yes. And the whole concept here is your biology is very much intimately tied to your psychology. If your body's out of whack, you'll have depression or bad ideas or something like that, or you'll make mistakes, etc. What David has created here is this entire course for how you can, from point A, discover all the pinpoints that you can change about all the aspects of your existence, your physicality, your psychology, your spirituality, okay? All of these are elements that you are affecting your body and your mind. A complete course to totally rewire, hack in, and take control of your destiny. If you want more information about that, go to HoldenHealthcare.com, and I certainly hope that some of you will start buying some tickets and get in contact with us about that for the 23rd of March 2024 for the biohacking course. Anarka Polko is even coming up as well, I believe, very soon. I think it's like, what was it, next week? Yeah, it's next week. Next week on Monday, the 12th for those of you here in New Zealand, and that's, of course, Sunday the 11th for those of you in the United States. Anarka Polko is kicking off, and if you go and buy a ticket at the Anarka Polko website, you should be able to get a discount of 10%. You can attend digitally or in person as well. And when you attend digitally, you get access to everything that's available at the conference for life, which is quite a wonderful little deal. And lastly, of course, man, I'm just spending all the show for self-promotion time promoting other people's gigs. That's interesting. I am going to be at Anarka Polko, by the way. We've recorded our interview, so it'll be up there. But on screen, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the Kiwi Bank, PayPal. And for those of you who have already donated, go to that homepage and you see where it says already donated. Click here for your special rewards. That's how you get the contact details for me. You can give me a ring and add yourself in. If you're in the West Auckland area, I've got a little text truth group, so that when we have parties and get-togethers and things of that nature, I make sure to invite everybody, because yeah, loneliness is a killer, and I'm pretty sure that people coming together with like minds is going to be extraordinarily good for your state of mind. All right, so with that being said, thank you very much for your time today, Vince. And VJM Publishing is his website. What's the actual website there?
VJMPublishing.nz is the actual URL. But you can also find me on Gab and Rumble and Odyssey and BitChute and a bunch of other places. So, cheers very much for speaking to me, Vinny. And thank you very much, Internet, for listening. I hope you learned something good today.
All right. Thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinny Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes.